to Positive Altitude. This is our third episode of our podcast on aviation sustainability at AirAsia. And my name is Manching.
And I'm Sylvie. And guess what? We're on the road again. Well, we're recording this episode just after a SAF event organized by the European Chamber of Commerce in the Philippines. And for those of you who doesn't know what SAF is, it's Sustainable Aviation Fuels.
Yeah, so Sylvie, I understand this is like, what, your second time in the Philippines, and the first time was about when you were a kid. So what's your impression?
Well, it's definitely a city of hustle and bustle. I mean, there's so many skyscrapers compacted in one area. It's a literal concrete jungle. And also, I thought Malaysian traffic was bad, but wow, after experiencing what it was in Manila, I must say, we're pretty okay.
Okay, but not exactly that, you know, you should be heading in that direction, yeah. But yes, put things in context, right? But in fact, I mean, I've been to Philippines like in and out so many times, and I never actually put it down in numbers until I googled it last week, and I realized that it has a population of 113 million people spread out across thousands of islands. You know, that's about 3.5 times that of Malaysia, and so many islands in the archipelago. So, I mean, I think it's no secret that we all know that the Filipinos are incredibly footloose, and they can be found any part of the world, and there's a huge migrant workforce abroad, which makes it uniquely dependent on affordable air travel.
Yeah, it's not quite connected by land, isn't it? And also, the Philippines is situated in quite a vulnerable place in terms of the climate change map. I mean, they experience several typhoons a year. And, you know, we just met with our Philippines colleagues earlier, and he just told us about all the support and aid that we have been giving to all these, you know, disaster relief efforts, rehabilitation missions, from flights, aid workers, to sending emergency relief items. And I'm sure that you know, being in AirAsia for longer, has had a lot more experience with this.
Yeah, well, it was well before your time, Sylvie. You probably were in high school, but back in 2013, there was a really massive typhoon. It was called Typhoon Haiyan, and it was a Category 5 typhoon. I mean, it's really hard for us to imagine as Malaysians being very blessed to be living in a country with no major natural disasters. But this typhoon recorded wind speeds as high as 315 kilometers per hour, and I believe it was the highest ever on record. And one of the you know, kind of memorable things was that it hit many of the towns in central parts of the Philippines, and one of which was called Tacloban. We flew there, and it was completely devastated. I mean, I remember, you know, this was an incident that really tested us on how effective we were in handling a crisis. The airport was right on the coast, and it was the first to bear the brunt of the typhoon. And in the immediate aftermath, we couldn't reach anyone. You know, in fact, all the communication systems were down. The airport was completely smashed. And one thing we can be very proud of is we worked very very closely with the Philippine Air Force to try to clear the runway, and we were the first commercial air operator to bring a flight in carrying in tons and tons of aid. We were bringing in hygiene kits, food supplies, and every day there were thousands of people killed in a hot sun with horrific injuries that were getting a seat to fly out to Manila to get treatment. And you know, about a month and a half later, I actually made a trip there, and when you look at it, it's really unbelievable. You can imagine picking up a matchbox, you shake it, and then you throw it on the ground. That's what the buildings looked like. And I remember a very memorable encounter. There were two security guards, so they were patrolling the airport at night, and that was when the typhoon came, and they had nowhere to run to. And how they survived it was they just climbed up these two coconut trees and hung on for dear life for 3 to 4 hours, you know, when everything was going crazy around them. They survived it, however, and, you know, they told me to see that coconut tree was crazy. It was like this tree, and it was dead, and the fronds were just blown in one direction. And they told me that, oh, every day we walk past this coconut tree, we really say thank you to the coconut tree for saving our lives. I mean, it sounds like it's an incredible story, but what was really, you know, heartbreaking for us was that we initially couldn't reach 27 of the ground handling people who were working on our flights in Tacloban. It took us 2 weeks to locate all of them, but they were living in tents to serve the flights every single day for a month, and eventually we managed to get them back into housing. But today, you know, Of course, we learned a lot of lessons from that. I was at the time heading AirAsia Foundation, and we started the first kind of region-wide fundraising campaign. In 6 weeks, we raised $1 million, which the company matched. So we had $2 million to give out to rebuild housing, to give people some aid, and to also look at restarting some businesses. And these are the things that we are really proud of today. But unfortunately, even though we learn a lot from this experience, you know, it's just a matter of time before, you know, it might happen again. It's not an if, you know, it's probably a when that it will happen again.
Yeah, that sounds like an incredible story. And for the record, in 2013, I was just graduating from high school. So on my way to college. But this brings us back to our topic for today. You know, we know that the Philippines really needs and relies on air transportation. But also we need to make sure that we are also prioritizing the climate change, you know, needs. And as far as we're concerned, this means having to decarbonize while also keeping aviation safe, secure, and accessible to large segments of the population. Mm-hmm. And today's event at the ECCP was specifically focused on sustainable aviation fuels in the Philippines, whether, you know, it's ready, what's the development looking like, so on and so forth. And for those of you who may not be familiar, SAF is a substitute for aviation jet fuel. It's a biofuel and it's supposed to have a lower carbon footprint. And you can produce SAF using organic materials such as, you know, your used cooking oils, waste materials, agricultural oils, so on and so forth. And these oils are processed, refined, and essentially they have the same properties of jet fuel. And so, Manching, you were a speaker at this event. What did you think of the conference overall?
Well, firstly, you know, I really have to commend the ECCP. It did a really great job in bringing together all the key stakeholders for the first time, actually, to get everybody to kind of share their perspectives on what their views are and what they're actually doing to move the country along the path of SAF production. Other than the usual suspects, which you can expect, the Department of Transport, the Civil Aviation Authority of the Philippines, which is also known as CAAP, the Department of Energy, there was also speakers from the Department of Science and Technology, the Trade Investment Board, as well as the Philippine Coconut Authority, because coconuts is actually one of the biggest cash crops of the Philippines. And of course, most importantly, the three major airlines, who ourselves, Philippine Airlines and Cebu Pacific, they also shared our views on our plans for SAF. And I think something that I really want to highlight is that it was a very clear indication in the room that day that the Philippines really wants to have local SAF production. Now, why this is important is because it's never always clear in the Philippines. So I think we're from Malaysia and we have Petronas, which is a national oil company. And Petronas is a pretty major player internationally in oil and gas. So it was always very clear that Petronas will want to have SAF. You know, it's basically something that a national prerogative for Petronas to also sustain into the future. But in fact, in the Philippines, when I first made inquiries back in 2021, I was actually informed then that the Philippines would most likely rely on imported SAF. So there has obviously been a very major shift, and this was really underpinned by a recent visit by the Philippine President, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., also known as BBM or Bongbong Marcos. And President BBM actually made an announcement with Airbus that they are going to have kind of a multifaceted cooperation or support from Airbus to look at how to develop the opportunities around SAF in the Philippines.
Yeah, it's definitely very encouraging that, you know, they've decided on an approach, and for them in the Philippines, that is SAF. And from what I understand, being at this conference, hearing from all these different stakeholders, is that there is already a SAF readiness assessment done last year by the Civil Aviation Authority in the Philippines on, you know, the demand for SAF, the availability, and, you know, with support of the European Aviation Safety Agency. And the findings of this assessment shows that there is a demand for SAF, but there are still barriers to overcome, especially in identifying suitable feedstock and undertaking infrastructure development. And, you know, Manching, you've heard from, you know, the different ministries, different regulators. Do you think there are some progress that has been made in this regard?
Yes, to an extent. I do. I mean, one of the interesting presentations that I liked was by the Department of Science and Technology. There was a Dr. Ian Tabaniak, who spoke about, you know, looking into the different types of feedstock that can fulfill the Philippines' requirements in the short term and in the long term. So he talked about, you know, cooking oil potential, coconut as a cash crop that can be used also for SAF production. He also talked about other generations of feedstock such as microalgae and macroalgae. So I think he's a scientist, so they're also looking at assessing the life cycle emissions factor for these SAF feedstock. So that's quite really good. I like that. And then of course the coconut authority is coming in to talk about, you know, how they can increase the output to see whether that could be a potential feedstock. And that the part I think we'll be missing will be, I think we were missing some of the investors who could be the companies that will eventually operationalize this and realize SAF at the end of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is just basically the first step. So it's a good kind of bird's eye view to see where each party is and what their targets or goals or intentions are. And so to hopefully that you will start, you know, coming together.
Yeah, and you know, I remember, I mean, joining AirAsia about 1.5 years ago, I mean, Malaysia was in a similar position, you know, different ministries were not talking to each other, and it took a lot of effort from, you know, our team to be able to pull all these people together to have this conversation and get, you know, working towards net zero in a conversation. And as the CORSIA National Task Force Chair for Malaysia, you have been actively involved in this process. And do you think that, you know, now hearing from what's happened in this event, do you think that the Philippines can progress along in a similar track?
If I look back then, yes, I think there are some parallels to what we experienced. In fact, you know, I think when I took over sustainability, the first government entity that actually invited us to talk about SAF was not the Ministry of Transport. It was actually the Ministry of International Trade and Industry. They were looking at SAF as potentially one of the industrial development projects of the government, but also kind of strange because it was slightly in isolation of what CORSIA was looking at in terms of CORSIA eligibility for the fuel and etc. etc. But eventually the Ministry of Transport also stepped in and kind of carved out something clearer for everyone. And I think one of the most important developments in Malaysia was taken by the CAAM back in 2022, when they decided to bring industry players into this picture more in a more involved way, rather than government decide what to do and then just send it down to industry. So they set up two task forces. One is on CORSIA, which I chair, which you mentioned, and the other one is on SAF development, which is chaired by Malaysia Airlines. So these two task force has all the airlines involved, the major airlines involved, as well as all the main ministries. And as we grew along, as you know, since you joined, we add new ministries into it. So one of the things I think we can be very proud of, and it has represented a huge amount of progress since then, is that we are now in Malaysia at the stage of finalizing a first national net zero blueprint for aviation, which really involves input from all stakeholders. And I really mean all. It's not just the aviation stakeholders, but very importantly, we have the Ministry of Natural and Resources and Environment and Sustainability in Malaysia. That's the Environment Ministry. But we also have the Ministry of Economy and the Ministries of Finance involved. And I can't stress how important this part is. So if there's anything that I think the Philippines, I hope that could be replicated in the Philippines, would be to involve these ministries. Because when we talk about SAF usage, you know, we should never lose sight of what is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to decarbonize and keep global temperature increase below 2 degrees as part of the Paris Agreement. And SAF alone cannot achieve this. So, you know, we have to keep in context the other solutions out there that we need in order to meet our net zero goal. And, you know, also to keep it affordable. Never forget that, because that is part of making it accessible. Using SAF to do it would be very expensive, you know. So it needs time before SAF can kind of ramp up and prices hopefully will come down. But to look at also other solutions. But the other part of it is really about financing it. You know, a lot of people, it's nice to talk about decarbonization, it sounds like such a nice goal, but one of the reasons why it's really not progressing as fast as it should be, that the world needs, is because there's no money for it. There's no financing for it. So even if we want to use SAF in AirAsia today and we go and ask the bank for a loan to get SAF, you either will have to pay a huge amount of interest for it, or banks will basically just say no. This is not an asset. It's not something that they're going to get a return later. It's just really money used to burn fuel and it's gone. So without government regulation, incentives and support structures, it's going to be very, very difficult to realize, you know, SAF as a final solution for decarbonization.
Yeah, I think these are some really strong points that you highlighted during your session. You know, like you said, no one size fits all, and you know, each country has its own different strategies to decarbonize depending on what is available locally. And what I remember is some of the points that you highlighted is that, you know, if a country wants to have SAF, it can't even get it, you know, available today. It can't get it available immediately. There is so many milestones that needs to be achieved. You know, I think we're not even looking at next year or the following year. I think we're looking in a few years ahead for the availability of SAF. And some of the milestones involve, you know, identifying a feedstock, you know, conducting research and development, identifying the right technologies, so on and so forth. So it actually takes a few years and a lot of time into this process, and that's why, you know, we can't start tomorrow, we can't start next year. We definitely have to start looking into it now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one example is that we are actually, you know, talking to one of the major oil and gas producers in the region, and you know, they are already at the final investment decision stage, which basically means everything is in place, the money is there. They identified the plants for it, the feedstock for it, etc. But even then, if they start today, they will only be able to deliver their first commercial SAF output in 2027, you know. And so if the Philippines is really just at the stage of talking about it, I can imagine it could take even longer. It could take up to, what, 2028, 2029 at the earliest. Which then begs the question, if you listen to our podcast, the last episode of our podcast, where we talk about CORSIA, I mean, CORSIA, we just entered the first phase, so with a lower baseline, and we're already expecting that compliance offsetting will begin from this year's emissions already. So what do we do, you know, to kind of offset for this year's emissions all the way until when SAF is available? Obviously, there is an option to buy these solutions in the international market, but if you've been following some of the developments recently, you would know that there is only one project in this entire world that has been approved for CORSIA offsetting. So everybody is kind of eyeing this project, and it is not sustainable. So right now, a lot of things are in motion. Yes, we are really happy that SAF, the conversation about SAF is starting now, but we also believe that there are other things that need to be done immediately, like what can we do to improve airspace efficiency so that we cut out waste. Low-hanging fruit can be done with current existing technology affordably. Secondly, what are the carbon market solutions that need to be available? Now, Southeast Asia, we are in a zone with 3 mega biodiverse countries. You know, there are a lot of potential for nature-based solutions, but that's quite difficult to certify for CORSIA. Not to say that's impossible. Governments need to look at these sorts of options in order for the financing that can come from carbon markets to also benefit the growth of these sorts of carbon economy in our region, right? So, yeah, so there's you know, many things that are happening at the same time.
Wow, I mean, that sounds like we need to do a lot of work, you know. I mean, we as in not just airlines, but also regulators and all the, you know, relevant stakeholders involved in this whole decarbonization journey in the aviation industry. And, you know, so what's our next step in the Philippines with regards to AirAsia strategy?
Well, nationally, I mean, from the SAF event, we can already know that there is now the Department of Transportation is currently looking at a national SAF roadmap, so that's great. And we understand the Ministry of Energy also has oversight of the National Biofuels Board, which looks at biofuel development for the whole country overall. And I understand there's a workshop coming up specifically to promote more understanding of SAF and how it fits into this national picture of biofuels development, which is kind of a long-term strategy for decarbonization of the economy. So that's basically what's happening in the Philippines. We also talk with the Department of environment. So we met with the Secretary of Environment, and definitely the Philippines is looking at a lot of exploiting or exploring some of the potential they have to develop blue carbon, and is one of the leading countries in this initiative called the One Planet Initiative, if I'm not wrong, to look at some of how to unlock the carbon potential for mangrove conservation, etc. Mm-hmm. So those are some interesting developments. It's a long way from, you know, still meeting CORSIA requirement, but I think it's a great start if more of this can come in to bring in more kind of organized research into it, and eventually also look at how it can fit into the bigger picture for aviation decarbonization. But, I mean, obviously, on our part within AirAsia, we need to replicate the kind of process we started in Malaysia, really to educate the whole company on what aviation sustainability is and what it means for the company. We're starting right now with modeling, so we're fine-tuning some of our financial models to understand what could be our ESG exposure as regulations evolve, you know, prices, market changes, you know, with SAF potentially coming into the picture. So we're developing all these models to have better decision making for our Philippines counterparts, but at the same time also educating, you know, people in the company on what each one of them will have to deliver in order for us to meet this goal. And which then brings me to a very important kind of pitch that we have today. Obviously, as we have so much to do and so many things, we're also looking to expand our team and looking for a lead for sustainability in the Philippines. So if all the things that we have said really excite you, you find it really exciting, and you want to play a part in moving Philippines along and moving AirAsia along on this path of aviation sustainability, you are the right person for us.
Yes, come and join us.
Yes. So we will be putting out our job description on our AirAsia's, I think it will be on our
website.
Yeah. Our JobStreet website, mm-hmm. or our LinkedIn website. We're looking at people who either have background in sustainability or aviation, ideally both, but either is good, and you know, you can learn a lot from us on how we are already practicing it in the other parts of the group. And so yeah, see what you can contribute to us to also move this conversation along in the Philippines.
Yeah, and I guess to wrap up this episode, you know, we've talked a lot about what's happening in this specific SAF conference, but we haven't really delved and deep dived into what the technicalities of SAF is, and we'll address that in the next episode. So if you have any comments, thoughts, questions on SAF, definitely do drop us a comment in our LinkedIn post, any of the episode posts, or you can even DM us on LinkedIn.
Yep, so we'll try our best to answer. We're not technical people, but I think it would be a general understanding of what SAF is, understanding kind of the usual terms that are associated with SAF, and hopefully have more understanding of what this, you know, solution is about.
Yep, and thanks for listening to another episode of Positive Altitude.
Salamat po! Bye!
Bye!